There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Tuesday, 1 week out from Fat Tuesday. Also 1 week out, oddly enough, from the start of session in Montgomery. And it's just made me think about it a couple times. You know, in the show open, there's Governor Ivey talking about the high-stepping turkeys, Clyde and Henrietta. And Governor Ivey is going to make this push tomorrow for the gas tax increase for infrastructure in the state. It seemed like in the last month and a half, 2 months of watching the trial balloon show that was floating out of Montgomery, that you had a lot of Republican support for this. State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, you had word from Speaker McCutcheon that there was support Republicans behind it. Then they had the Republican winter meeting, and on a narrow, let's say, 4 or 5 vote margin, I don't have it in front of me, so it wasn't like unanimous, but the Republicans voted against moving forward with any kind of gas tax. Now you have our Republican governor, Kay Ivey, tomorrow going to the mat to talk about the gas tax increase and infrastructure. So I would just suggest to try to help with it, because, you know, presidents do this all the time. If they're going to roll out something for health care or something for the military, whatever, they get the prop people. Right, and not that they're not real people, but they bring people out. Let's bring a lot of physicians out, and they're white, because like they don't wear anything but the lab coats. They're going to be out in the lab coats as you're talking about a healthcare thing, or these military members. We're going to talk about this. Well, it's not exactly analogous here, but wouldn't it be nice, just as a way to soften the delivery for Governor Ivey, if Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys, were out there? Just an idea. And Dalton, if you'll look on the text line, it looks like, and if you'll communicate with them and tell them to hold on, we're looking for this. I'm trying to figure out who was first for the $500 donation. I mentioned this because this morning a buddy of mine, when we were talking about the families of the fallen and the float and stocking the float with throws, we mentioned that you could do cash donations as well as throws. And so this buddy of mine said, hey, I'm going to donate $250. Somebody match that. So I'll donate $250 if somebody matches it. So when it was matched, then he said, okay, $500. Okay. So he took it to $500, matched that. So what I offered here at the end of the last hour is, if you match my buddy's $500 donation to Families of the Fallen and stock in the float, that I would, because I have not done this in the past, but I'm doing it in this case, I would sell rights to one day of co-hosting Midday Mobile at a time and date to be determined between the two of us going forward. So we have some people chiming in. I see calls and texts. So Dalton, if you'll work through this, we'll find out who was first in to donate $500. So it'll be a total $1,000 donation to Families of the Fallen, and you get to co-host the show. So there we go.
So sitting here with you like this right now.
That's right. Steve Joint, 10 from
Mobile. This is worth $500.
I would say it's worth $500,000. But in this case, yeah, you know, there's people over time that have asked and said, hey, can I? And I was like, yeah,
no,
I don't know.
I feel like I'm getting a pretty good deal now.
You're getting a good deal.
Yeah, this is, wow. So, I should kind of lean back and enjoy this more.
Soak it up, man. but it's, you know what, it's, if we donate something, you could say, that's easy for us to donate. It's no huge lift.
Right.
But at the huge lift is this community that has already stacked as much as they have in money and throws for this float. And I know that by the end of the day today or tomorrow, we'll have this float full. They take the big lift. And law enforcement, it takes a big lift for what they do for us every day. And this community has stepped up and
yes,
made me proud.
And this is not even a this is not a one-time deal. Know that. This is not a one-time deal. I've been following these folks from the get-go. They have purchased the base of a float, and they are working on building their own float. This float we're talking about this year is actually being lent to them by Mobile Mystics.
Like you said last hour, good job, Mobile Mystics,
right,
too.
Absolutely. And it's adorned. It just so happens they had a salute to the police department float in this year's parade, so that's what they're using. But the float they're building just could not be finished in time, so they came through this. But next year, we may very well see the float that's been built for them.
I think I'm allowed to say this. I may be screwing up here, and this will be the only time I've ever added a piece of news to Steve Joint's list of Mardi Gras news. But I think he said it on air with me last hour. Oh, well, I'm going to get in trouble. He said that the folks from Mobile Mystics were going to not just tear off the decorations of the float that's floating this year.
Oh, they're going to get some of those figures.
And they're moving it over to the future float for Families of the Fallen.
That's good.
So they're instead of just tearing that out.
Craig Stevens is their float builder. I don't know if we actually have a float builder per se for the one that's being built for this organization. I do know Steve Mussel was helping them out for a while. And, of course, Steve and Craig know each other very well and blah, blah, blah. So it's all in the family.
And you watch, as you know so much about this. I mean, it's still going to be a process of building out the float for it, but having some pre-built things that are coming off the float this year to be used, who's got to save
time. It absolutely helps expense.
Good deal. Well, that's and this is a good thing going forward. You've been talking about it. I've been talking about it. It's a unique way. Our own Northern Gulf Coast unique way of helping out these families and honoring these families is really cool. Just for the time that they roll, to have a little sunshine in their life, to have some, to absolutely have that couple hours of just being able to think about something else and just throw some throws. So it's pretty cool.
Be normal and be happy.
Yeah, so that's good. And it leads the floral parade on Saturday.
Right.
We're going to talk about all the schedules.
And we may very well see it in other parades in coming years.
It sounds like, from the conversation I had with Sergeant Joey Goff at the beginning of last hour, that they're now getting calls from lots of Mystic organizations saying, hey, you want to ride with us? You want to ride with us? And that's a great thing. Want to talk about that. Also want to talk about what... I am very jealous of your shirt. I'm very jealous. I like homegrown things very, very much. I like unique Mobile items. And you're sitting here with a T-shirt that's got the barricades on it, and it says Mardi Gras Wall.
It's awesome.
What is the story with this? I've not seen this yet.
I'll tell you the story. First of all, I want to say that regardless of where you stand on the wall issue.
No, this is great.
This shirt works.
No, it works. Whoever did it
absolutely works.
Whoever did it,
you can be pro-wall and love the shirt. You can be anti-wall and love this shirt.
Agreed. Agreed.
And
pictures on the Twitter feed, by the way.
It's actually my second kind of semi-political Mardi Gras shirt. A few years ago, the takeover Wall Street, what was it? Occupy Wall Street was a big deal.
Yes.
Somebody put out an Occupy Mardi Gras shirt. So I have one of those. It's very cool.
Same.
So here's the story.
Yeah.
The story is I was out on the parade route the other night. I'm not even going to tell you which group. Friend of mine on a float sees me, throws me this shirt.
That shirt came off a float.
All rolled up with rubber bands on it. And I thought, oh, cool. It's a shirt. I looked at the tag. It said 2X. I'm like, awesome. It's going to fit me.
Right.
I put it in my bag. I assumed it was a shirt for the organization was rolling, right? And so I waited a day, maybe, before I opened it up to hang it up or wash it or whatever. And I realized, oh, my. I looked at it, and I looked at my wife. I said, you're not going to believe what this shirt says. And I show it to her. I'm like, is this awesome or what? And I've come to find that these guys who have, a print business did about 200 of these shirts as throws. That was
the only way to get them as a throw?
The only way to get them was as a throw.
Mm.
So I decided to, and I suspected part of this because I knew who it was and I knew where they work and blah, blah, blah. So I suspected part of this, and I just took a picture of the shirt and I put it on the Facebook page, and it went, I'm not going to say viral. It doesn't really count as viral, but.
But a localized bacterial infection.
It got a pretty darn big reaction.
Yeah, it's a cool shirt.
For my page.
It's cool shirt.
I think it's like up to almost 500 likes.
Yeah, it's a cool shirt.
It's a lot.
And, I'm jealous.
So I messaged him, and I said, dude, I think you're missing the boat here. You need to make some more shirts. So I'm prepared to make a big, big announcement.
Okay.
You're going to be very happy. They are printing up 325 more of these shirts. They will be available starting tomorrow afternoon at Gulf Coast Beads exclusively, and they're
perfect,
only $15 a piece.
Okay. I'm sorry. So what time do they get there?
Tomorrow afternoon. Wednesday afternoon is what they're shooting for.
All right. Done.
There's going to be, and it's still a limited edition. We're only talking 325 shirts. I mean, very specific number.
Go ahead and count that as 324, because I'll be there. Hey, by the way, the midday show will be delayed tomorrow for a little bit.
As you go get your shirt.
And get the shirt. All right. Well, we come back. Of course, lots more to talk about than just super cool Mardi Gras shirts with Steve Joynt for the Mobile Mask. As we are just a week out from Fat Tuesday, get his review of the parades of the weekend. And here we go. Except for that rain day, we've got parades and Mardi Gras the whole way through the Double OMs on Tuesday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. It's also the Tuesday before Fat Tuesday. Steve Joynt, Mobile Mask is in, and we're talking some Mardi Gras. Let's do a little review in here because numbers, of course, part of the game here as we compare this Mardi Gras with last or Mardi Gras past. We've done it. We had some big numbers last time we were talking. What about this last weekend? How did it look? How did it look for downtown parade numbers?
It was a mixed bag. Saturday was some big numbers. Sunday was way, way down. In fact, Sunday was so far down, it's funny. You know, I did the article about how they do the estimates, mm-hmm. and I'm here last week, and I'm saying, hey, you know, have faith in the system, blah, blah, blah. I literally emailed the woman who does the counts, and I said, did maybe some numbers get transposed or something like that as they were putting it out to the media?
Right.
Did you mean 31,000, not 13,000?
Right.
And she said, no, 13,000, that was our count. And it goes to show you. It just goes to show you because I just, where we were, and we're in the same area every time,
mm-hmm.
where we said, well, Monday was clearly a much, much smaller crowd than Sunday. That's not the way their count turned out. And it just goes to show you that they see the whole parade route. You don't.
That's right. And
and there's no way that you can know.
And what Steve's talking about, if you haven't read that article in 2019 Mobile Mask or heard us talking about it, you laid out how MPD does the grid that they use to tally the attendance at a parade.
It answers the question exactly precisely, how do they come up with those crowd counts?
So more people out on I guess they're both school nights, but a Monday than a Sunday.
Slightly more. It was such a small difference that it was essentially the same. And we were talking 15,000 versus 13,000.
Right.
And 2,000 people, the difference spread across that route is not even noticeable, really.
Well, and you saw some of the pictures we were putting up on Twitter and this and that. That, Mike, we were pretty good where we were that. You could touch guardrail at any point. You weren't,
right.
You know, anywhere you want.
You're talking last night?
No, I was talking Sunday night.
Sunday night.
It was enough that, you know, we were there right off abroad, and we could just...
My little slice of heaven on Sunday, it seemed like a 30,000 to 40,000 crowd. It wasn't, you know, huge,
right.
But it seemed occupied.
Yeah.
As opposed to last night, we had you know, there was open barricade here and there.
Yeah, that's what we saw on Sunday. Let's talk about
just
week.
Just to show you, it depends on
where you are. Right. Yep. And we've all done it. Wherever you go stand, or if you stand somewhere new, you look around and you make an assumption about what the rest of the route is, where MPD actually is going through their grid and seeing all the different areas.
They see every bit of it.
I got a question, but I want to get a phone call on first, because Thomas is in Theodore, and you're on with Steve Joint from the Mobile Mask. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good afternoon, Steve.
Afternoon,
very
Thomas.
Very good programming, Sean, the last couple of weeks. Very informative. Your guests and such. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
I was wondering about my favorites in Mardi Gras all the time is the comic Cowboys. And I was wondering, I figured there's going to be some that are taking pot shots at blue hair. Trump, he's dyeing his hair blue or something. It's a different color just about every day. And, of course, Robert Kraft, there's going to be Inflategate is going to be on there, I think. And I just wonder if you had any insights on what the comic Cowboys are going to attack this year.
Okay. No, and if I did, I would be totally sworn to not share it with you. So you're almost better off that I don't know anything. They had their barn party, their famous barn party, this past Saturday. I was not able to go. I was out there covering the Mobile Mystics. But they reveal most of their signs. They'll tell you that there's a couple of signs that they wait until even just the last minute for breaking events and things like that.
What do you mean? They're saying that these are ones that these bulletins or whatever, they're not even painted up yet?
A couple of them, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a couple that'll be painted in the last week, probably.
Okay.
And there's stuff, you know, if you've ever been to the barn party, one thing people like to do is to go inside the barn to the bulletin board where they post stuff that didn't make the cut because it wasn't appropriate or what have you, and people will swear, you know, that's the best stuff is on the bulletin board, you know. But, you know, I guarantee there's stuff that's they like to be as topical as they can be, so they will literally wait until later than you even think to make lampoon some of the latest stuff.
By the way, Thomas, you just cracked me up. I can't believe I hadn't even thought of that, but that they would call this an Inflategate, or to leave it at that, for Robert Kraft. Very funny stuff. Thanks for the call. All right, so I want to get to
it should be Inflate Deflate.
Stop. Joint, stop. Stop, okay? Okay, keep this show together here.
Okay.
Let's run through, other than tomorrow, she's tonight.
Correct.
Okay. Then we have the proverbial rain day.
The blank, the dark night, I call it.
Yeah, the night that's supposed to be there to make up for, you know, parades that might have gotten bumped in the past. There's the problem, because starting Thursday, you get situations like you did with MOT and other groups. There's no buffer built in after Thursday.
And pretty much Sunday, I mean, if you're facing not rolling Sunday forward, you're just not going to roll. There's no makeup, really.
How often is that? I mean, has that been common?
We had Joe Kane through the not quite pouring rain last year,
right.
But it was a rainy day. Mm-hmm. And my, you know, my feeling, I can't remember a modern Joe Kane parade being postponed, in other words, run on another day.
What about that? Where are we on the Joe Kane debate between the rolling and the marching? The floats and the foot marchers.
You know, I think it's been, frankly, good for the procession overall. I think it's expanded. You know, the procession had basically gotten so full, there was no room. There's no wiggle room left.
Mm-hmm.
They can't add any floats. They can't add any units. They are at 36,
mm-hmm.
And that's the limit. So by creating the separate foot marchers permit, adding a second permit to that, you've actually been able to expand the entire procession, and frankly,
more people get to get involved,
right? And to the average parade goer, it all just kind of looks like one thing anyway.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
to the people,
you don't really see the difference,
right? Nobody goes, oh, now okay, this is a completely different. I mean, it's all the Joe Kane procession,
right?
So it, you know, because for a while there, it was pretty contentious, as that seemed to have you know, settled down?
There was, this had less to do, I think, with the actual structure and finances and things like that, and more to do with some personality conflicts.
And those it seems to have quieted down.
Sure. Those personalities got away from each other.
Way to do things. All right, we're coming right back. And if you got questions too, you want to ask the Mardi Gras question that's been gnawing at you, this man probably knows the answer.
Stump me. Go ahead. I dare you.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have a Mardi Gras question that would stump Steve Joint from Mobile Mask?
Bet you don't.
343. This audience, man, you're getting 343-0106. I'll throw in some kind of prize, too.
I double dog dare you.
Giving stuff away right and left today, I will. I'll throw in a prize part of the mix, too, if you can stump Steve Joint with your Mardi Gras question. 343-0106. Hop on the phone and ask it when we get back right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. My guest Steve Joint for the Mobile Mask. You've set yourself up here because people are asking questions, and we'll take the questions on the phone to stump the oracle at the guardrail, the oracle of Dolphin
Hit me
Street.
One time.
So I want to do it on phone. I do have a couple on text I'll get to, but I want to hear your voice. I want to hear y'all ask in person your Mardi Gras question. Here's on text some of the people who said, okay, like Johnny says, Sean, I don't have time to call right now, but here's my main question for your guest. Well, this is a good one. I don't know. What is the main reason that the 50 Funny Fellows do not have a parade?
Well, they actually, when they first started out, they did do a foot procession.
Okay.
And they have a big anniversary coming up fairly soon, and I told them, you guys should consider reviving that for your big anniversary,
right,
or something. But it just
they did, so they with at some one groups, point they had a procession,
right, but and no floats. I mean, it was just right. A foot thing. But you know, I mean, some groups just choose something they want to put a lot of money into.
Yeah, there's some. I think at Nerides for ladies, there's some balls like that there.
Sure.
They don't have a...
The Etruscans, yeah, and the Sirens, and there's a lot of long-standing non-parading groups. It's just not one of the reasons they were formed they were formed to have a ball, and that's what they do.
That's what, and somebody's saying, yeah, they choose to pour their money into their ball.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good, because I don't remember... Supermom says, I have a question. When did the barricades come into being at Mardi Gras?
That, if I remember correctly, was like the early 70s.
Okay. That's why I don't remember them not being there.
Yeah. And you know, New Orleans has barricades, too. It's just they don't have it way back deep in the neighborhoods. But once you start getting out into the hotels and whatnot, it's all barricades. And you know, barricades are about safety. That's just all there is to it.
I'm good with it. I have...
It's
I might
a
have
great
had my issues
place
when I was
to
young.
Hang your backpack, too.
It is. And my kids actually taped their signs up to them the
awesome.
Other day.
Yeah.
And it keeps my children off the parade route.
Right.
So I'm a pro barricades person.
Yeah.
Dan says, what was the celebration we now call Mardi Gras first called when it was started in Mobile?
Well, jeez.
Now, remember, in the new Mobile Mask, you get a little bit of this explosion.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to wind up getting in a whole argument about...
We've already argued it out. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got some kind of alternate name, I will simply just call BS on you.
Okay. I mean, do you think...
Because there really isn't.
Boeuf de Gras? Do you think that's what...
Well, Boeuf Gras,
Boeuf Gras
is
yeah.
French for fatted calf.
Right.
The whole point of Boeuf Gras is that it's a reference back to the 1300s when the rules about Lent changed. The church changed the rules and basically said during Lent you can't have meat. You can't, or at least you can't have red, hoofed animals.
Right.
And the butchers went nuts. you know, and there were a lot of butchers. Butcher was like a big occupation yeah. in Europe at that time. I mean, it was like one of your leaders of the community, and they went nuts. They said, what are we supposed to do for the whole 40 days?
Right, you're messing up our business.
Yeah.
Here.
And so, and they said, well, what do you want us to do? And so the butchers came up with the idea of, why don't we tell people that the period between Christmas and Ash Wednesday is a great time to stuff yourself full of meat? And so the whole idea of the fatted calf and parading the fatted calf through town and basically advertising
like
meat,
it.
It's what's for dinner,
yeah.
That's what led to the whole idea of excess during carnival season. So that's all that is.
Very cool. All right.
And there was no Société du Bœuf Gras that anybody can find any evidence of.
All right. This is interesting. It is a Tuesday. We're talking about Fat Tuesday, and the caller from Mobile named Tuesday is calling in. Hello,
yeah,
Tuesday.
Thanks for not saying Fat Tuesday this time, okay?
So hello, Tuesday.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Sean. But I do. I wrote this paper in high school, okay, and researched it, and found out then.
That was what,
so
2 years ago?
I'm interested. It was just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple centuries. But I actually, what was most interesting to me, and it was printed in the school newspaper, locally here. It can be looked up. I don't want to actually read it myself again. What Egyptian rite, upon what Egyptian rite, and that, I'm sure that there were others that predated it, you know, kind of like, you know, the Beatles stealing from Shakespeare. But upon what Egyptian rite, R-I-T-E, is Mardi Gras based?
Okay. Does it have some...
I hate to tell you, Tuesday.
You're stepping away, aren't you?
Yeah, this, you know, it was...
He's not touching the keyboard, actually, now.
It was at one time considered that Mardi Gras itself was somehow a combination of the Christian liturgical calendar and a certain...
No, this predated Christianity.
Well, he's getting to that.
Right, and certain... Druid and other non-Christian... non-Christian traditions. But for one thing, the beginnings of Mardi Gras do not come out of the Egyptian area. So
Take rivers and rising.
Right, are you in denial? What is that?
that Nile. All right, man. Have fun. Thanks.
All right. Never heard of that. Here's one I got to ask you quickly, because Calvin, Calvin said, first time I've seen ice cream bars thrown at a Mardi Gras parade was Saturday at both the day and night parade. Is this something new or something I just haven't seen yet?
You haven't seen yet. It's been going on for a number of years. That's Mayfield Dairy throwing ice cream bars from, or ice cream sandwiches from their big cow. They have a big cow that they roll through, and they keep them. You can tell they keep them on dry ice because when they come for the return trip and they're still throwing them,
right?
They're hard as rocks. I mean, you just go crack and crack them off.
But if anybody, I'll risk the injury if you want to throw me an ice cream bar.
No, it's a great throw.
I will risk the injury. All right, taking more stumping, Steve. That's what we should call it. Stump Steve. All right. John is in Mobile. You're on with Steve Joint.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Just going to ask you, you were talking about barricades earlier. What year did they quit carrying the flare/torches in Mobile to keep crowds back?
Well, first of all, that was never the intention of the flares. You're talking about flambeaus.
Flambeaus.
And the flambeaus are they would carry essentially these torch mechanisms that had what they called flares in them. And
this is what lit up, right?
These were used to actually light the floats, to shed light on the floats. And
okay.
Yeah, and in the, and in fact, I've seen some photographs from around 1951 where they've got some flambeaux that are old-fashioned torches, and they've got some flambeaux that actually have electrical light bulbs screwed into them and wires running to the float where they were hooked up to car batteries. But just as soon as they figured out that they could actually string lights on the floats, they didn't need flambeaux anymore. However, you can still see four flambeaux at the beginning of the OOM parade.
Yeah. So, but the rest of us, you said 1950s or so. That's when they
were shifting. They were shifting. But it was very shortly after. Yeah, it was very shortly after that they figured out they could actually get lights on the floats and light them up that way. But you know, if you look back,
I was a child in New Orleans. I was late '50s. They dang sure kept those back. That sparks coming off those flares.
Well, and they still, and New Orleans still uses quite a number of flambeaux, but they don't use them to light the floats. And they use like kerosene-based flambeaux, which I think are. They look dangerous.
What were they here? Weren't they kerosene-based back then here?
I've only ever seen flares. In fact, if you look at the float drawings of Augustus Walker from the 1930s, 1940s, he actually specifies what color of flares he wants used on what part, at what level of the float to light it up correctly. He'll say yellow flares here, white flares here, red flares here.
Meaning that they built the way the float was designed, it was designed for certain colored flambeaux to illuminate and put the colors on that we today might put on with a paintbrush.
That he was thinking about that, absolutely.
Wow. All right, let's grab one more one more before we go to the news break, and then we'll come right back and grab more calls at 343-0106. Tim is in West Mobile. Tim, you got a question?
Yeah, a quick question. It's two parts. The first part, the moon pie. I had my first Little Debbie moon pie the other day, and really good. And I was wondering how many variations of moon pies there are. I noticed they're also throwing the oatmeal cookie that's just come up to compete with the moon pie. And how often or do they ever put a pie scooper behind the horses as they walk go through the parade, or is that done only after the parade? Just curious about that. Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right. Very good. So
he's talking about horse poopy?
And moon pies all at the same time.
Yeah. That's. I'll take the horse poopy first.
Okay.
Generally, there's no cleanup people. They just do their thing, and then it gets run over a lot.
And then the
marching bands try to avoid it, yeah. And you know, that kind of thing. You know, I've always thought it was funny when the horses do number one because it's right there in the middle of the street, and the street is angled. You know, it's angled down toward the gutter. And so everybody who's in the line of fire watches it to see which way it goes. Does it go north or does it go south?
It's like with a continental divide.
If it starts coming toward you, it's like, ah, here it comes. And they start moving all their stuff. It's really funny. I'm sorry. The moon pie question. I saw a Little Debbie marshmallow pie. Don't say moon pie. A Little Debbie marshmallow pie just the other night. That was the first time I'd seen one of those. But I think just about every Little Debbie product available has been thrown out there in the last several years. And there's who knows how many off-brand marshmallow pies out there. Usually they come in that foil wrapper where you can't see anything inside. That alone should tell you something. I know people who are like, you know, if it doesn't actually say moon pie on it, I'm not going to touch it.
Right. Well, you gotta, you know, I mean,
I like the Little Debbie stuff.
We have the Moon Pie store here, so I mean,
sure, that's a great store.
It is a great store. All right, more. Can you hang out one more segment?
Absolutely.
Because we got more questions about throws and the meanings behind them, or how long people have been throwing these different things. Your chance to stump Steve.
I got nowhere to go.
Mobile mask. Yeah, he does. He does. He takes his off day for Mobile Mardi Gras. Goes to New Orleans. The guy is a glutton.
In so many ways.
Which is so good for Mardi Gras. Coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
152, FM Talk 106.5, at Midday Mobile. Steve Joynt, Mobile Mask in studio, and it's people have been trying to stump Steve. Oh, by the way, too, this question from Todd, we talked about Todd and I talked about this yesterday, and I'm asking you now: are you aware of the Wiener Mini Mobile rolling in the MOJ parade?
Parade on Friday night. I actually got a message some days back and posted it on my Facebook page. It's the Mini Wiener Mobile. I was contacted by the Wiener Ambassador. Or Wiener Ambassador, I think.
I've lost all institutional control of this show today.
it's the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, but it's built on a Mini Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a teeny weeny thing. And this is like its inaugural tour.
Yeah, that's what I heard from these people. It has not gone. It's only been like in the Atlanta area or something like this.
No, we're getting this like practically first. We're practically debuting this sucker at the Maids of Jubilee on Friday night.
Very good. So that's gonna be part of this. Also, I saw for down the road they had a
and
drone.
I'm told,
did you see the drone?
I asked the guy today. I said, "Are y'all going to be throwing Wienermobile swag?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Probably some whistles, and some stickers."
What are the whistles shaped like?
They're wieners.
Okay. I mean, once again, lost all on institutional control. NCAA is going to shut me down. Jimmy says, one of my friends caught a bag of rice at the parade a night or two ago. What's the significance of a bag of rice?
Okay, there's no significance. The significance is, rented lips, last year, a number of organizations went crazy throwing these bags of rice. I think somebody got a real good deal on, in my opinion, not good rice, because we took some home and cooked it, and
it was not good.
It was gummy. It was not good rice. So we just kind of prayed to the Mardi Gras gods to not bring the rice back. And lo and behold, we really haven't seen the rice
except
this year.
Except I dispelled that. My son caught one the other night.
Well, a couple nights ago, some guy said to us, "Oh, look, I caught some rice." And I said, "Yeah, that's bad rice, and it's probably left over from last year because we haven't seen it in any kind of real numbers this year."
So that's that. But if you're getting it, there's a chance it's a holdover from last year's throws.
That's kind of my guess.
Yeah, when you recycle,
and I really, this is my plea to float writers: just give up on the rice.
Well, if you're going to recycle throws, make sure they're non-perishable.
Yeah.
Throws you recycle. What do you see trending right now in the throw? The noise making thing. I was thinking about this because I was looking at a video. I think you saw it that was shared on Facebook. My son back at like 3 years old at the barricades, and he had back then the Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
Remember the Vuvuzela that got World Cup fame that made all that noise? Of course, he used that to make noise for months afterwards. Now he's got the sticks, corrugated pipe you spin around to make the noise. And yes, so he enjoys those. Light up things.
I got one the other day that's literally, it was two and a half inches long. And my wife said,
how are you supposed to make it make noise?
Well, she said, "I don't even know how to do this." And I took it, the hole's in the side. And I just blew in it, and it went. It was
loud.
Really, really, really loud.
Yeah. So quit throwing those to kids, y'all, because the parents. It's affecting our. It's
what
affecting
I love is
our,
when parents actually buy those things from the vendor carts, and I look at the parents, I'm like, are you
just
dumb?
Wait a second.
Do you not realize you're just going to hear this for the next 3 hours?
That's right. Then these are the things I make disappear out of their bags.
I guess
on the way
some
home.
Of them just can't hear now.
Yep. Huh? Yeah, I'm that person. All right, what are you looking forward to most between now and let's say Friday night? I mean, you ready for crew? What are you ready for? Stripers? What are you?
Gosh, what am I most looking forward to? I mean, just all of it.
That's true,
sheer spectacle of the thing, and there are a lot of little things that I do, like when I get time. I sneak into the KOR pep rally in the lobby of the Civic Center, and I watch as the band plays and Folly beats the floor with his bladders.
Yep.
And it's good fun.
It is a cool. It's a cool part. There's so many parts of it. You do cover this, of course, on the Facebook page. People can check it out there.
Facebook, Twitter, you name it. And pay particular attention because. You know, we've got the R word running all mm-hmm. through the rest of this time, and we've been real lucky so far. We've literally dodged the raindrops that they've been. Heck, we had a code red day, and nothing happened. So it was, right. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So tonight, the first there's a chance of rain tonight during the
season. Tonight's low. It's like 20-25%
chance out there, and then of course as we go into Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, last I saw, Thursday said 90%. But, you know, around here, it depends on where you are at the time and exactly what time you're talking about. So watch the hourly forecast.
All right, man. I'm going to be watching you online and talking to you there as well. Mobile Mask on Twitter, on Facebook. And we'll keep up with the last 7 days. And next time we do this, it'll be Ash Wednesday.
It'll be, yeah, right after. And hopefully we'll still be upright.
Just barely. Steve Joynt, thank you, man. We're out of here.
Paul Happy Feinbaum. Mardi Gras.
Yeah, man. Happy Mardi Gras. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. See y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings.